Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of Thunderdome Metal Reviews. As always, I'm David from West Kentucky, and I'm making my friends listen to Machine Head. Hey, friends, how are you?
Doing pretty good. I feel like you like to make us listen to Machine Head every chance you get.
That's a promise. That's a challenge, Tracy. Challenge accepted. I do make you listen to a lot of Machine Head, and I'm not sorry. How are you, Benjamin? I know you're phoning in. You're phoning it in, as they say.
I am, in fact, phoning it in, but I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, everything's pretty good over here. I am feeling like one of those O's that has a slash through it, you know? It's out of my, I have my emotion just right now.
So it's just Gabe Cooper with like two O's with just lines through them. Cooper.
Just looking at this writing, it gave me a headache a bit. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Did they let some 14-year-old kid write the like name titles? Like, we're going to go with it. I don't know.
On this album?
Yes. Oh, wait, just the lettering. Well, just everything.
Yeah, sure. It's a trippy cover. Yeah, all these O's with lines through them. What the fuck? I have no idea.
It's very emo, too.
Kingdom and Croon. Yeah, their stuff's been overwrought for a long time. I don't know. I think he takes himself.
Rob Flynn
takes himself very seriously, I think.
Slaughter the Masha.
He cares more about Sal than he does substance.
Speaking of that, this is Machine Head's 10th studio album of Kingdom and Crown. It was released on Nuclear Blast Records and Imperium Records, which I believe is Machine Head's own imprint. It is 59 minutes and 22 seconds long, 70 minutes with the digipack. The lineup on this band is Rob Thin, lead vocals, lead guitars, Wakla Kitik, lead guitars, Jared McKeachum, bass and vocals, and Matt Alston, drums. So as we're talking, David, this is your pick, Machine Head 24/7.
I mean, I'm 65. I picked it because it's Machine Head. It's really very easily answerable. And, you know, I was on that ride real hard the first run of albums. I sort of got off a little bit, lost track of them. Several albums happened. But I've listened to the last couple, the last three albums. So I don't know. I thought it might be all right. The pre-release tracks were pretty good. I mean, when they write a good riff, they write a good riff. And this is a band that I have silly nostalgia about because it's one I saw in Berlin. I went backstage, I met the band, blah, blah, blah. So this is a rare moment where I had anything to do with these human beings at all for more than, you know, from 500 yards away at an amphitheater in Cincinnati, sweating my balls off.
Yeah.
So, and I'm a half of the band. So, you know, here's the Machine Head, y'all. Is it the best work? No. Is it their worst work? Also, no. So, Ben, do you feel that was always a thing, or you feel like that's just how they've evolved?
I honestly, it's hard to say. I think it's probably always been there a little bit, because like Logan Matter, who was in the band in the initial run, got into like some visual art and stuff, and I don't know that he gets along with anybody who's still in the band, with Rob especially. But it's funny because I think Rob is one of the most conscientious voices in metal, and like he's willing to call people out, like he's talked shit about Phil when Phil has done really dumb shit, and I appreciate the hell out of that. But it is, perhaps it's unfair, but I think his devotion to the entire package gives it a Kiss sheen that I kind of resent.
I can see that. I think he takes the music very seriously also.
Oh, he does.
Kiss in their own way.
Yeah.
And Rob Flynn is also the only one that's been in his band since inception. They've had turnover in every role since then.
They sure have.
Oh, dude. Yeah, this is his band, 100%. Just like Soulfly with Max's band.
Oh, my God, yes.
Rob's.
Yeah. And I think it's part of it because his history of, what was it, the early thrash band Violence or whatever that he had run in that I think had a bad breakup that he's been running this thing ever since.
Yeah, well, you know, I can understand that. And when you have a vision and nobody else is sticking to it, there's a billion bands, many of which we've talked about, some of whom are Perth and Bass because they don't want to give up control. But I will say that the playing on this is very good. Because Rob is so heavy-handed, and maybe that's a little unfair, because I associate Rob so much with this band and being the guiding force behind it, it doesn't feel as much like a band as their early stuff that I was super into, much like David did. And that could be just my own perceptions coloring this. And I'm willing to admit that because, you know, a side tangent that we'll get into much more in detail later. As I was driving the other day, they did a Megadeth takeover of one of the XM metal channels. And dude, that was always Dave's band. And that band has had a lot of turnover, but nobody else has been in the band for longer than like a fucking cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So, you know, how much are they actually contributing other than being hired guns to play the parts? And sure, they probably helped write some of this stuff, but that's kind of how what I wonder about this album too.
I think, well, Gabe, do you have anything you want to add in? I feel like we've kind of boxed you out here for a bit.
No. It's fine. I just don't have any history with this band whatsoever. So I didn't really know what to expect going in. And, you know, if it is sort of like a one-man operation with, you know, rotating cast, that's totally fine. It also means that you're likely to get a more consistent package, I suppose, because like really you're just swapping out people who can play for people who can play, and the ideas or the impetus is really coming from the same person. So in a certain way, that's good for fans or good for record buyers, right?
Yeah. And which I think a lot of the problem with that is, though, and you see it in the arc of his discography, is a lot of it is done in what Rob Flynn is feeling at the time, because they have that arc there in the mid-2000s where they do some prog elements. They also do some like heavy nu metal stuff there as well that's kind of like hard to grasp onto. While like their first two albums are super thrashy, and then which you were on for one of those, I believe. I don't know if that was during Operation Have Baby or not, but and then you have like the past two albums, like it's very much is based off the whims and feelings of Rob Flynn on like what ends up getting written. And looking at that,
I don't really consider that a negative thing, though. I mean, that's kind of the point of being a musician and having a band, as much as I kind of maybe talk shit about that a little bit. Because I do like the fact that Machine Head tries shit. Like they did a fucking, on one of their earlier albums, they did a cover of a Police song, for God's sake. You know, not too many metal bands. I know that kind of became a big thing in the late 2000s, early 2010s, where metal bands were doing covers of pop songs. But, you know, I kind of feel like Machine Head was out in front of the curve on that a little bit. And
yeah, that's like, you know, 10 years earlier.
The one thing that, as somebody who considers themselves to be a Machine Head fan, that I have kind of found hard to stick with them is because there has been so much change in their sound. But again, more power to him, man. If that's what he's feeling, do it. I mean, this kind of turns back towards thrash in a very interesting ways. A lot more clean singing than like the early super thrashy or some of the stuff that I'd heard on like the super experimental albums. But I kind of liked it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just want to respond as the fresh ears here and say, like, yeah, the thrash has come back, but I think it wasn't really enough for me to keep my interest over the entire album. The vocals are certainly on point. I won't deny that. But it is like it's leaning into the nu metal stuff like way more often than I'm really here for. I think it'd be interesting also to hear from you all what you thought of this concept, because I read about it on Wikipedia and I really don't think I understood it, you know, listening to the album. And,
I read it, him explaining it, and it may have made it worse. But yes, I read his rendering of the story.
Yeah, but I don't think I would have understood any of it if I hadn't read that, which tells you something. And it may just also be, you know, the conditions under which people are writing songs in a pandemic and, know, what you get excited about and what gives you inspiration. And it's great that you're inspired. But I I don't know how well it works. It didn't really work all that well for me.
Yeah, like I didn't know this was concept even... them.
Yeah, I didn't either. So I'd be curious to hear what the concept was supposed to be.
Would you like me to read you a little?
Yes. Explain it to us.
So this is from Apple. It's also their first concept album. Talking about their new Polish guitarist before that. Anyway, the story is set in a futuristic crime-ridden wasteland where the sky is stained crimson. Machine Head vocalist, guitarist, and main songwriter, and everything else, Rob Flynn tells Apple Music. It revolves around two characters, Ares and Eros. Ares loses the love of his life, Amethyst, and goes on a murderous rampage to avenge her death. Eros loses his mother to a drug overdose, spirals into a depression, and becomes radicalized by a charismatic leader. He goes on his own murderous rampage, which ends up killing Amethyst. The lyrics detail how their lives intertwine. Inspired by concept albums like Pink Floyd's The Wall and My Chemical Romance's The Black Parade. Yeah, so that's what he said. That is what he thinks he did here. So I don't know. What do you think, Ben? Is that what he did here?
Well, there's a little more on the Wikipedia page. I kind of want to add to that. Because he said he was trying to write a concept album, but couldn't get it to work. And it wasn't until he sat down and watched Attack on Titan with his kids during the pandemic that he's like, oh, I could just make them anti-heroes and make everything work. And it's just like,
sure.
What?
Sure.
Makes no, sense. It didn't. I'm sorry, Rob. It did not make everything work. No, if you're going to aspire to write a concept album, those are two good concept albums to aspire to write towards. But there's some cool tracks on here. Man, I didn't see a cohesive story. Maybe it's one of those things like there was one Sabotage album that was a concept album, but they printed the booklet that had like chapters in between the song lyrics so that you could keep up with the story. And maybe this is something like that. But just listening to it,
Yeah, I didn't catch it much either. I listened to it a couple times before I read that. I was like, huh. And then, you know, after that, I don't know. But there's some good songs on here.
I just thought it was
probably a little long for your taste.
I just thought it was a typical Machine Head album. No concept, nothing. Just the songs are on an album.
You're a typical Machine Head album, Tracy.
I am. It's the way of life.
Yeah, I just thought it's like, oh, cool. I got, like, these, you know, O's with a line through it for sale at the font store, so I'm going to plaster them all over this goddamn album. What I thought happened.
Yeah, I don't know the connection there. I don't know if that's in this post-apocalyptic wasteland. That's the only O you can afford. That's the only O left.
You must use O's and zeros because they are the same.
That's what it sounds like.
Zero over to zero, Z. Unhalzervid. That's what.
So,
sorry, I don't know.
Is there anything else anybody would like to add, or should we get into tracks and talk about how these tracks are not a concept album?
I like Machine Head. This is not their best album, but yes, let's talk about the songs, Tracy. Sounds like you're very ready to go first. So,
all right. So I actually ended up pulling quite a bit off this album. Like I pulled off 6 tracks off this album. Become the Firestorm, Kill the Enemies, My Hands Are Empty, No Gods, No Masters, Slaughter the Modern, and Unhallowed. I know that's not an album order, but that's how they were added to my playlist order.
You did take a lot, my brother. You took a lot.
I took almost half the album. I mean, the albums, that there are songs in here that are bangers.
Yeah, like there's some good shit on here. Yeah, you know.
I mean, they're 58 seconds, so you could skip them mostly.
Yeah, don't worry about that part. Well, I'll shut up. You know what I'm probably going to say. Though I'm not going to say all of them. Not every song on here is great. But some of these songs are pretty good. I actually like Slaughter the Martyr. I know it's a long build. It's 10 minutes. But the song, the heavy bit in the middle is badass. Chuck on the Ashes is good. Become the Firestorm. Yeah, I thought that arc up to Unhallowed was pretty good. And then I admit it maybe drags a tiny bit. Kill the Enemies is all right. I think it ends okay. It's a long album, I admit it, Ben. I was like, no, you could probably trim a couple of these. But there's some, as you say, Tracy, there's some bangers on here. It was one of the better, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of some of those conceptual proggy albums in the middle. I heard a couple of them and I was like, this isn't really what I wanted. He himself even admitted, he's like, I simplified the lyrics. And because some of those, he just is talking way too fast and saying a whole lot and not really saying much. I don't know. So I did appreciate the pared back vocal stylings a little bit. And I think the singing on here is pretty good. I don't know. I'm just rambling now, but there's some good shit on here, but I wouldn't necessarily put every one of these on a gold disc to send to space.
I agree with you. I like Slaughter the Martyr quite a bit. Despite the wings, I thought that was a really good opener. You know, it was something I was like, ah, oh, goddamn, 10 minutes. But then I was like, oh, this is actually pretty good. Probably my favorite track on here is No Gods and No Masters. Unfortunately, it's followed by Bloodshot, which I think is shit. What else did I actually like, though? Unhallowed was pretty good. Become the Firestorm. Didn't care much for that. Choke on the Ashes of Your Hate. Not as good as Slaughter the Martyr, but it was a pretty decent follow-up. So, you know, that. And I should say, I think Slaughter the Martyr and No Gods, No Masters are among the best Machine Head songs. So take that for what it's worth.
So as a total noob, I also appreciated Slaughter the Martyr. And I think the first three tracks are really fine. That's my favorite, I would say. I would disagree. I think No Gods, No Masters is not that great, but I really like Bloodshot and Rotten because it's finally like, you know, back to like thrash or some semblance of thrash. And like, that's nice. I also thought that the last track, you know, the auto tune is just such a bad idea. Just don't do it. Like, if you don't know what you're doing, just don't do it.
Rotten, I think, is my least favorite track on this album. If I had to put like one into dumps and just get right off the sound, it'd be Rotten. Just like, you can go away now.
Oh, I forgot to say, I absolutely despise the short tracks. I think they're terrible. Like, also, you know, the overdose track, it's like really supposed to be tragic. And the doctor will not say the overdose was too strong. I mean, the definition of an overdose is that it's too much, right? So I don't get it. Someone explain to me why they had to say that. They did not.
Overdose was too strong. I mean, they're referring to the song, Gabe. This song was so strong. Or this non-song. Not the act of overdosing. God, they have a lot of albums. I'm looking down below. Some of them are pretty fucking good. Some of them, you know.
Yeah.
Guess we'll see when we grade it. I'm just going to take a beating, but that's how it goes.
Speaking of that, David,
I'll give it a B plus. It's not the best thing I've ever done. It might even grow on me. At first I was like, is this an A minus? But then I listened to you all talk. I'm like, fine. So, but you know, I like Machine Head. It's a B plus. Well,
I'll come in right there with you at a B plus as well.
Okay, we're on the same wavelength then. I was like, oh shit, is this about to get savaged?
Gabe, I'd like to hear your grade before I get mine.
Yeah, sure. It's a B minus. I couldn't give it lower than that because I did like several of the tracks. Is it something that I'm going to necessarily come back to? Probably not more than the first three tracks, I would say.
I'm in Gabe land. This is a B minus. I mean, there are some really cool tracks on it, some stuff that I really, really like, but overall, just not quite there to the quality that I want my Machine Head to be.
That gives us an average of an 85 right at a B.
That's going to be a B. 2B minuses and 2B pluses.
So it's got to be something. Would y'all buy this album?
I would. I sure would. B plus is my cutoff, but I'd buy this. Look at it.
I think I would too. I mean, six tracks, that's, yeah.
I would not.
Gabe just hangs up. Gabe disconnects.
No. I'd buy Choke on the Ashes. I think that's an awesome track. But I wouldn't buy the album.
That's fair. Now that's a streaming, you don't have to.
Yep. And speaking of,
they don't have Kiss singles.
Set singles, man.
I think they actually released like six singles for this album.
I want to get this on cassette and send it to Gabe randomly. That's what I want.
The single of Choke on the Ashes.
The single.
Yeah. And they've released five singles for this album.
They drip released a good amount of it, more than usual. Usually it's like two, and then you get the album. This one, that sounds right.
Well, I know that they also had like a big metal takeover thing on one of the XM metal channels, so that's not surprising.
Yep. All right.
Man, that's just a sign that I'm getting old, dude. That Machine Head has such an extensive discography and is considered like an OG band now. Jesus, I'm old.
They've been active since the 90s. That was 32 years ago.
Yeah, thank you, Tracy, for putting the underline on that statement of me being old.
I don't know, man. He's just doing a math.
I am. I'm just speaking for the numbers. I'm sorry. But speaking of another band that's been around for a long fucking time, we're going to look at Soilwork's new album, Overgivenheten. I don't even want
to. Abandonment.
Yeah. I don't know. Was that German, Swedish?
Swedish. The Swedish chef.
Yep. So tune in next time to see how we fare with this newest Soilwork album.
Ben's moment arrived.
What'd you say, Ben?
I just feel like the bird on the album cover.
I think he said prank call, then hung up. And that was that was the end.
Oh.
Tune in next time when we talk about Dead Bird on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.